Okay, Mariah Prabhotai, today's topic is actually one of my favorite topics. The question of Bishul Bechama, the question of cooking an item in the sun on Shabbos. What is the status? And we already saw that the Gemara, where the Mishnah tells us that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim about whether I'm allowed to crack an egg on top of a handkerchief that was heated. That's a machlokas. The Gemara comments that the situation is that the handkerchief was heated up by the sun. And the dispute over here is an item that's heated by the sun, is that permitted or is it forbidden? Meaning, and the Gemara explains this entire thing, if something is heated directly in the sun, so then as a matter of halacha, there is zero issue of bishul. It is absolutely permitted, no question at all. If an item is heated on a fire, absolutely forbidden, nothing to talk about. If an item is heated with toldos ha'or, meaning it's heated with something that got its heat from a fire, that's also unequivocally forbidden. No one disagrees. The only machlokas is toldos hachama. The only dispute is when something is heated by the sun, can I use that item to heat an egg, to cook an egg? Right? That's the dispute between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. That Rabbi Yossi says we do not make a gezeira of toldos chama up to toldos ha'or. Rabbi Yossi says it is not forbidden. And the Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say no, toldos chama is forbidden based on toldos ha'ar. The yes.
Just to clarify,
sorry.
Plug in.
This is good because it gives me a chance to take a sip. Yeah.
Yeah. Just so I understand, you said that if something is directly heated by the sun, that's permissible. In other words,
Absolutely permitted.
so if I just leave an egg out on the sidewalk, that's permissible, or does the sidewalk become
So again,
clear somehow?
apparently, if the egg is heated, if I put an egg on the sidewalk and the sun rays heat the egg, so then it is permitted. If, however, I already have a hot sidewalk and I pour my egg on the already hot sidewalk and the already hot sidewalk heats the egg, so in that case, it is a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, whether it's permitted or not. Rabbi Yossi says it's permitted, the Chachamim say it's forbidden. And
But
the
if
issue is
I
whether
thought
I make a gezeira of todos chama atu todos ha'ar. Now, you're
so
right. It's going to be difficult at times to figure out exactly what the situation is, but let's talk about an easier case rather than the egg. Let's talk about if I have I have water, and the water is heated by the sun directly. So then that water is heter gomer. It's absolutely permitted to put water in the sun so that the water gets hot. Putting something into that water is going to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. That would be the case of Toldos Chama. Rabbi Yossi says it's permitted. The Chachamim say it's forbidden. I think that scenario is easier to understand than the scenario of what's it called? Than the scenario of the egg, because you're right. With the egg, there is just a, I'd call it a logistical question about
But
what exactly is cooking the egg.
yeah, I'm sorry, but the water has to be in a cup, right? So water just
The water is
so
in the
does
cup,
the
correct.
cup does the cup become the kli, or I mean, or it is a kli, but I mean, does
I
it
mean,
become something
the
that
cup
becomes
becomes
heated?
toldos chama. Whether the category of kli rishon versus kli sheni does not really mean anything with respect to toldos chama. It's real this category of of kli rishon versus kli sheni makes sense when I'm talking about something that's heated directly on the fire. Again, when we study kli sheni, I will try to explain why that is. If you're curious, look at the Tosafot on Daf Mem Amud Beis, who explains the rationale behind the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, and based on the way Tosis explains the rationale, it seems pretty clear that the categories Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni only make sense when something is heated on the fire.
Rebbe?
So, everybody holds. You're allowed to heat something in direct sunlight. Mr. Nady, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. Just sort of going back to Ari's point, I thought he was sort of asking us about, you have like a Zeva Zegorim kind of a situation with, you know, it's a mix of Chama and Toldo Sechama.
Right. So again, I think the question would be, what is primary or not? That's why it's harder to imagine a scenario when I'm heating an egg on the sidewalk. Is that Chama or is that Toldo Sechama? Because you're right, it is some sort of combination. Therefore, I think the case that we just mentioned of first heating water directly in the sun and then putting something in that water, that case is a more likely scenario. It's easier to understand. I'll say it like that. Now, why is it that it is permitted to heat something in direct sunlight? Why is it permitted? So Rashi over here has a comment, which is interesting. Because if you would have asked me, I would say that heating something in direct sunlight is permitted because in the Mishkan, they never heated stuff in direct sunlight. Presumably they're in the desert and it's really hot and the sun is beating down quite intensely, but they didn't cook stuff in direct sunlight. No? Apparently the matzah that they took out of Mitzrayim was heated in direct sunlight. No? I was actually bothered by this question for many years. According to what we'll speak about today, it's entirely possible that the matzah that they took out of Mitzrayim was pasul as matzah. No? Because you have to bake matzah in an oven. And if you bake it on your shoulders, that's not an oven. So I don't know the answer to that question. I've been bothered by this question for at least 10 years. But let's go slowly. In the Mishkan, they did not cook stuff in direct sunlight. So I would have said that for that reason alone, it is permitted to cook stuff in direct sunlight. Yet when I look at Rashi, Rashi does not give that reason, no? Zucht Rashi. Bechama means b'shemesh. Rashi translates the word bechama as shemesh. I'm not exactly sure why Rashi says that. Like, what else would you have thought? Then Rashi writes, Deshari, it's permitted, Zakt Rashi, De'ein derech bishulo b'kach, because it's not the normal way of cooking. V'chama ba'or lo michlefa de'lig zarha atuha. And no one will make a mistake of sunlight for fire. No one will mistake the two, that we should make a gezeira. Meaning, Rashi holds, cooking in sunlight directly is absolutely permitted. And he has two stages to his comment. Stage one is that it's not the normal way of cooking. Stage two, Zucht Rashi, is that perhaps you would say it's still forbidden because we should make a gezeira. Says Rashi, no, we won't make a gezeira because no one will mistake todos cham, no one will mistake, excuse me, sunlight for fire. No one will make that mistake. That's what Rashi says. Now, Rashi's comment that cooking in sunlight is permitted because it's not a normal way to cook is really troubling. Because throughout Halacha, we have a principle that shelo kederech is forbidden, midrabanan. Whenever I do an activity in an unusual way, no? Let's say I eat shelo kederech, right? The Torah says I'm not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Let's say I eat food that is so burning hot that it burns my mouth. That's not a normal way to eat on Yom Kippur. So in that situation, I eat chaylev, I eat non-kosher fat of an animal that's burning hot. That is achila shelo kederech, and that is going to be usur midrabanan. It's rabbinically forbidden. Right? Whenever you do something in an unusual way, on Shabbos, right, let's say I write with my left hand. So that's unusual in terms of, I'm a righty, by the way. It's unusual to write with my left hand. So therefore, that's aser midrabanan. So how on earth can Rashi tell me that it's permitted to cook in the sun because it is lav derech bishul, because it's not the normal way to cook. De'ein derech bishul abekach. How can Rashi say that? It should still be forbidden midrabanan. So that's the question that everybody asks. And there are three different explanations to this Rashi. The first explanation is given by the Eglei Tal in Se'if Katan Mem Daled, and the Eglei Tal also refers to this in the Hakdama, in the introduction to his Sefer. And the Eglei Tal really likes this idea, so he says it a couple of times. Although in one place in the Tshuva in Simin Kuf Nun Tes, the Eglei Tal actually says something a little different. It seems like Nady has a comment. So, hey, is that a hand up, Nady? No, not a hand up. Okay. So one place the Eglei Tal says something a teeny bit different, but how do we understand this? So the Eglei Tal tells me in Tzivkotin Mem Daled that there are two different types of Shelo Kederech. There is one way of doing something unusually, but there is no difference in the result. Let's say, for example, I turn on a light switch with my left hand. Does the light burn as brightly as if I turn on the light switch with my right hand? This is a no-brainer. Right? It's exactly the same thing, no? The light is burning just as brightly. Sometimes, however, the Shelo Kederech means that the result is different. Sometimes the Shelo Kederech is such that it actually comes across as a different object. The Eglei Tal develops the idea. He notes that in Hilchos Gittin, we paskin that if someone writes a get, if you write a document of divorce and you write it with your left hand, so as a matter of halacha, it is a perfectly kosher get. So the Eglei Tal is bothered. One second. We know that on Shabbos, it's aser midrabanan to write with your left hand. Why would it be that with a get, it is considered a perfectly fine get? So the Eglei Tal answers that in his opinion, the halacha of Shelo Kederech can be broken down into two categories. There is the Shelo Kederech where there is a difference in the result. And then there is Shelo Kederech in the sense that the difference is only in the action, not in the result. If the difference is only in the action and not in the result, says the Eglei Tal, that type of writing or that type of Shelo Kederech will be forbidden midrabanan on Shabbos. However, when the difference ends up emerging, even in the result, so such a case will be absolutely permitted on Shabbos. Consequently, the Eglei Tal develops this idea that when I cook something in the sun, so the egg will taste different. The Gemara elsewhere teaches me that there's a principle called Yesh Shevach Eitzim Bepas. There's a principle in halacha that the wood adds a certain flavor to the bread. You know this. How do you know this?
Don't they, like, for grilling, they sell different chips of wood?
Right, they sell different chips of wood for grilling, especially for grilling fish.
Smoking? Right? Yeah. Smoking?
I didn't hear?
For when you smoke meat or something, you know, different, I think also.
When you smoke meat or the like, there is a different flavor that's contributed based on the different type of based on the different type of fuel that you're using. So therefore, the Eglaitel says, when I cook something in a way that the flavor ends up being different, or if I write something in a way that the final result is different, so in that situation, it will be absolutely permitted on Shabbos. Absolutely permitted. When the result is different, it's going to be permitted. However, just one second, yep. The Eglaitel assumes that someone can train himself to write really well with the left hand, and the writing will be exactly the same as if I write with my right hand. The final product of the writing will be exactly the same. That is still considered a shinui, but that's a shinui like turning on the light switch with a different hand. Right? That's not a shinui in the result. On Shabbos, if I have a change only in the action, on Shabbos that's Osir Midrabanon, but for Gittin, it is going to be considered full-fledged writing. So if I write with my left hand, if I write a get with my left hand, it's a kosher get. Because the halacha of an action being done differently than it's usually done, and consequently that action is forbidden midrabanon, if the result is the same, but the action is different, so that is a din of maleches machsheves. That is a halacha of the fact that malachos in the Mishkan have to be done in a professional manner. And if you do it with a different hand, even though the result is the same, for Shabbos purposes, it's asur midrabanan. But if the result is different, so then even for Shabbos purposes, we're going to say it is absolutely permitted. There is zero Isser Derabbanan in place. There's not even a rabbinic prohibition in place when I do an action in such an unusual way that the result is different. And that's why the Eglaitel says it is going to be permitted to cook something in the sun. See this next semester, God willing, with respect to some other. Let me just finish for a second, Nady. And yes. Ari, we'll see this next semester, God willing, with respect to other malachos. One of the malachos is lush, kneading. Kneading is a really tough one. Making oatmeal on Shabbos for little kids is like really hard. How do you do it? I'm speaking about for little kids, because for adults, you have to use hot water. No, but baby oatmeal, you just add a little bit of breast milk in or something. But how do you knead? So the Gemara has all these rules that you knead it in a crisscross motion. You knead it with your finger, etc. How's that permitted? It's absolutely permitted. Heter gomer. How can that be permitted? The answer is that the oatmeal comes out different. If I mix it properly, so it's going to be one type of oatmeal. If I mix it with my finger in a crisscross motion, so it's going to be mixed over here, gloppy over there. It's not going to be well mixed because there is a difference in the final result, not only a difference in the action. Therefore, the Eglaitel says it is absolutely permitted on Shabbos. Now I can take questions. Ari,
I just want to go back to the light switch. So if there's the result, so if I do it with a shinoi, then it and the result is the same. The same light, 60-watt bulb is going to go on. Then it's not an Isser D'Rabbanan, right? Then well, technically, then
I know. I think in that case it is an Isser D'Rabbanan. If the same result occurs, then it's forbidden rabbinically. But if the result is different, so then it's actually permitted, even midrabanan.
Oh, okay.
So I don't give any heter to turn on the light with my left hand. Again, in cases of someone who's ill, etc., we'll have to deal with those situations later on. I really hope we have time this year to get to halachos of a chola on Shabbos. But the Eglital is mechadesh that there are two different types of shinui on Shabbos. Nader, you have a comment, and Ellie Fink seems to have a comment.
Yeah, we were looking at the Eglital yesterday, and he seems to spend a lot of his time dealing with all the exceptions to his rule. Ad kedekach, that it seemed that the only thing that actually falls under this rule is Bishul Vechama, that nothing else was actually Heter Gomer. Everything else seemed turned out to be Aser Derabana.
Nothing.
Zriya, and like.
Again, there's, you're right. There are the vast majority of cases of Shinui are going to be Aser Midrabanan. What I was trying to show is that we have other examples of something that is Heter Gomor. That's why I brought up the case of Lashon Shabbos. No? When I knead in a unusual way that the final product is different, that's going to be Heter Gomor. There are a number of achronim.
Doesn't he try to say that this kind of rule would apply even outside of Shabbos?
So that certainly is not going to be called writing outside of Shabbos. Absolutely. Such a shinui, if it's a shinui to the extent that the final product is different, that is not whatever the malacha would be. It does not apply to other areas of halacha as well. But a shinui only in the maisa, not in the pu'ula. A shinui only in the po'el, not in the nif'al, right? So that type of shinui is aser midrabanan by Shabbos, but it is considered full-fledged writing, etc., 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 in all other areas of halacha. That's the Eglital's idea. Ellie Fink, it looks like you have a comment.
Yeah, I missed. What's the difference between ksiva by a get and ksiva on Shabbos? Because we by a get you need v'kasavla l'shma. So, like, whatever's a ksiva for Shabbos, why isn't the same as if it's not ksiva for Shabbos? Why is it ksiva for get? I just missed that point that we said.
So again, by gittin there are additional requirements. The halacha, the Torah says v'kasav, so you have to do what is halachically called writing. And then there's another requirement that the get has to be written, l'shmo, l'shmo, l'shem gerishin. The get is written for the husband, for the wife, and for purposes of divorce. But it also has to be written. Years ago, the conservative movement used to have gittin that were written on a typewriter. Many of you probably never saw a typewriter. But it's a very serious question in halacha. If I use a typewriter, is that called writing in halacha? If I use an inkjet printer, that is definitely not writing in halacha. Right? Because what is happening when I do an inkjet printer is I set up some ideas in the computer's brain, and then it comes out without my action at all. But the old-fashioned typewriters that you push each, right? Not even the teletypes, but the really old-fashioned typewriters that each time you push a button, so you see A, B, C. So those old-fashioned, you have an old-fashioned typewriter. Wow. Gentlemen, you may have never seen this in your life. Ari, can you just lower your camera a teeny bit? That is a old typewriter. Oh my gosh. Right? People don't know from these things anymore. Have you guys ever seen typewriters? It's a generational thing.
It's an antique. I keep it in my office and I've got a better view of it. But
does Rebbe have a take on rotary phones?
Yeah. So a rotary phone, again, the issue with telephones is a different type of issue. The only concern with the telephones for being a real malacha is that the operator used to have light bulbs that went off when they would make a connection in the call. The types of phones that we have today, again, we'll have to discuss electricity in a different situation, but not from now. Now, I should note that the Eglital himself has a different distinction with respect to The explanation of this Rashi, the Eglaton Simin Kuf Nun Tes, says that maybe we permit a shinui, we permit doing something in an unusual way if you're not really the one who does it. When you think about cooking, cooking is an unusual type of malacha. When I write, I am forming every letter. But when I cook something, I put something in a situation that the heat source heats it. No? So the Eglay Tal suggests in a different area, in Simin Kuf Nun Tes, the Eglay Tal suggests that maybe we only permit Shalom Kederech if it is the type of thing that you are not doing the action on your own. Again, I think the second Eglay Tal is less popular, is less famous. The first Eglay Tal is what everyone talks about. So let's just review. Rashi says that heating something in the direct sunlight is absolutely permitted. How could it be permitted? Shouldn't it be asur midrabbanon? So the Eglay Tal develops this idea that no, maybe there's a type of shalom kederech which is permitted entirely because it is shalom kederech in the nif'al. The result is absolutely different. It is completely different than the result would be otherwise. That's the Eglay Tal's explanation. Rav Moshe Feinstein has an explanation which it seems to me people somewhat misunderstand or they oversimplify. If you look in the Tshuva Nigris Moshe and Chela Gimel Simen Nun Beis, do I still have it here? Yeah. So Rav Moshe in Chela Gimel Simen Nun Beis, Rav Moshe is responding to a certain Rabbi Eisenberg. And Rabbi Eisenberg is bothered by the question, how could it be permitted to cook in the sun? How can that be absolutely permitted? So Rav Moshe answers that what Rashi means is that because you're doing it in an unusual way, and it's the type of thing that no one would ever do if they would have access to the better way of doing it, so that's why it's permitted. Rav Moshe understands that what Rashi means is that it's lav derech bishul, right? Rashi's expression is ein derech bishul b'kach, and chama ba'ar lo michlofa, people won't exchange the sun for fire. Meaning, says Rav Moshe, no one would ever cook in the sun if they had access to a fire. Rav Moshe is not simply saying that whenever something is really unusual, it's permitted. He's not saying that. Rav Moshe is saying when something is unusual and no one would do that, if they could have the usual way, so then in that situation, Rav Moshe says, it is going to be permitted. What does he mean? Rav Moshe means that using a microwave on Shabbos is really forbidden. It's forbidden min ha-Torah. It's cooking on the level of the Oraisa. Unfortunately, I got this Shaila once. Or I'll tell you a case. I have a student who unfortunately is in federal prison. He did ma'asim asher lo ye'osun. He's in federal prison. So he sent me a shayla. How is it possible for him to have hot food on Shabbos by asking another one of the prisoners to put the food in the microwave and heat it up for him? But they get airline meals, basically, in federal prison. And is he allowed to ask a non-Jew to heat it up for him? Now, technically speaking, we permit asking a non-Jew to do an Isser D'Rabbanon, to do a rabbinic prohibition, if it is done for a mitzvah. Right? You have a double D'Rabbanon. I'm asking a non-Jew to do a D'Rabbanon. So that is permitted if it is L'tzarech mitzvah. So in this case, it's a mitzvah to have hot food on Shabbos. No, we spoke about that at the beginning of the semester, right? It's a mitzvah to show I'm not a karait. I want to have hot food on Shabbos. So this guy asked me, is it permitted? According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's absolutely forbidden, no? Because you're asking a non-Jew to heat food in the microwave. Rav Moshe says that microwaves are the type of item that people would use even if they had access to a regular stove. Rav Moshe writes, and it could be he's wrong about the Metzius, but in this tshuva that's written in 1971, Rav Moshe writes that the only reason why people don't use microwaves instead of regular ovens is because microwaves aren't so readily available, they're more expensive, etc. But if a microwave would be readily available, everyone would use a microwave instead of a regular oven. And therefore, Rav Moshe thinks that the microwave is going to be, therefore Rav Moshe thinks that to use a microwave on Shabbos is really usur. The only time I permit, and it's usur min haTorah, presumably, it's a deraisa to use the microwave on Shabbos, because the only time it's permitted if you cook in an unusual way is if you cook in an unusual way that no one would ever cook in if they could cook in the normal, if they had access to normal cooking. But since people would use a microwave, even though they had access to normal cooking, therefore, Rav Moshe says, using a microwave on Shabbos is usur min haTorah. When my Rebbeim in high school, when I learned Rabbi Kalish, my 11th grade Rebbe, when I learned Hilcha Shabbos with him, so he said, this is, to his mind, the worst mistake that Rav Moshe made. Because Rav Moshe assumes that people would use a microwave if microwaves were more readily accessible. He's like, today, I guess I was in his class probably in 1990. In 1990, it says microwaves are really available. No one uses a microwave to cook, which I think is correct. No, we use microwaves to reheat food. I don't think anyone really cooks in the microwave. But for Rav Moshe, cooking in the microwave is a d'oraisa. Because he says the only reason why Rashi says it's mutter to cook in the sun is because it's an unusual way of cooking, and no one would ever cook in the sun if they had access to a stove. But if it is unusual and people would do it, even though they had access to a regular oven, so then that is going to be usur. And you get an impression from Rav Moshe be usur min haTorah. So I told my student who's in federal prison, according to Rav Moshe, you cannot ask the non-Jew to heat the food. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, you can. What's Rav Shlomo Zalman? Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says the following idea. Rav Shlomo Zalman is bothered by four questions on Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that the reason why cooking in the sun is permitted is because it's not normal. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, one second, they get an impression from the Gemara that the conversation which we have, let's say about cooking on a handkerchief that's heated. So you should ask a more fundamental question. Is it a normal way of cooking? Is it not a normal way of cooking? The Gemara doesn't deal with that. The Gemara says, is it todosa or todosa chama? Why don't we just say, if it's a normal way, if people normally cook on handkerchiefs, so then it should be usur min haTorah. That's one question that Rav Shlomo Zalman asks. Then he asks questions from three areas of halacha where we see if I cook, for example, a Korban Pesach. In Korban Pesach, the Torah says it has to be roasted, right? You're not allowed to cook it. Let's say you cook the Korban Pesach in Chamei Tveria. You cook the Korban Pesach in the Baz of Tveria that we'll learn in the next piece of Gemara. I want to do that tomorrow. Or I make matzah in an unusual way. I make matzah not in an oven, etc. So the Gemara says that that's not called matzah, right? That's not called, matzah has to be baked. And Korban Pesach has to be, to violate the Isser. So Korban Pesach, it's not really called cooking if you cook in an unusual way. According to Rav Moshe, it should be a problem. If it's the normal way to cook, it should still be a problem. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is bothered by these questions. In Rabbi Wollig's Sefer, Rabbi Wollig says, no, all those cases that you are dealing with there's a special pasuk. The Torah says, "V'asu eser, v'afu eser, noshem lachmechem betanur echad." That bread requires an oven. The Torah says, "Al tochu menuna uvashel mevushal b'mayim." The Torah says, "Don't cook it in water." So it could be that all of those cases that Rav Shlomo Zalman brings up, there's a special pasuk. But maybe we could defend Rav Moshe from all of Rav Shlomo Zalman's questions, because Rav Moshe would say all those cases that it's not called baking, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman asks, why is it not called baking? Maybe it's normal. Well, the defense of Rav Moshe is, yeah, even if it's normal, it doesn't matter. Because the Torah says, right, that it has to be lechem that's made in a tanur. And it has to be bashel mevushal b'mayim. So that's Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's question on Rav Moshe. And Rabbi Willig tries to answer for Rav Moshe that no, in all those cases, it is a special gezeiras hakosav. Mr. Fink.
Could you maybe say within Rav Moshe that, like, the distinction between, like, microwaves and, like, outside in the sun is the level of what I try to do to avoid it? Like, if I have a microwave, I wouldn't be as hesitant to cook in it as opposed to cooking on the sidewalk. So would that play in factor? Or, like, so, I'm not going to cook in a microwave if I happen to have an oven here and it's better and I like it more. But...
So Rav Moshe actually formulates it. Let me read you his words. His words are, the microwave oven, right? Shetov levashobal kimo be'esh mamish. The elu sheyesh lahem tanur kazeh, mishtam shembo yoseh mi bishol ba'esh. People who have a microwave use it more than a regular oven. Umashal nispashtu tanurim elu, adayin hu mishum dolo matzoy adayin harbe tanurim. The reason why it's not so popular is because there aren't that many microwaves around. When these things will be around, everyone is going to use them more often. I actually know somebody who was on a game show in the 1970s and won a microwave oven. And this was like a really big deal at that point. Nady.
What was it, Moshe saying that Bismano, Bishel, that microwaves were not considered Bishel Daraisa? But that in the future, when they will be popular, it will be?
But... I think Moshe is saying that even Bismano, it will be Bishul Min HaTorah, because it's just as good. The cooking is just as good as regular cooking. And since I know, certainly today, right, in 2020, a microwave is just as good as regular cooking. But even in 1971, Rav Moshe is assuming it is, yeah.
And what does that have to do with Derech Bishul?
So Rav Moshe is understanding Rashi, that when Rashi says it's not derech bishul, what Rashi really means, it's the type of cooking that no one would use if they had access to better cooking. Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, I'll get to you in 1 second, Gabe. Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, is saying that when Rashi says it's not derech bishul, Rashi doesn't mean derech bishul. Rashi means it's not the type of cooking that halacha defines as cooking. The halacha has a definition called halachic cooking. And halachic cooking involves cooking on a fire. This is not halachic cooking. Consequently, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, cooking in a microwave is only cooking midrabanan. And according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, don't try to get in prison, gentlemen. But if you're in prison, right? You can ask a non-Jew to heat up the food for you on Shabbos. This fellow who's in federal prison, so I told him, according to Moshe, it's a problem. And he spoke to Hasid Sheyid, who's also in federal prison with him. Maybe we'll tell some more stories about this on some occasion. The Hasid Sheyid said, yeah, but my Rav said it's mutter. And his Rav sent this Hasid Sheyid guy the tshuva, where of a Rav Harfenis who permits asking a non-Jew to heat up food in the microwave on Shabbos. And then this guy who's in prison sent the tshuva to me to ask me what I said. Listen, I think there is what to rely on. I don't think it's a crazy idea, but I do think according to Rav Moshe, it is forbidden to ask a non-Jew to heat up food for you in the microwave on Shabbos. Gabe, you have a comment?
Yeah, just a question about, I didn't see the the soul of tshuva inside, but Rashi uses the lashon of gzeira. He says lo mechlefa de ligzar ha'aduha. So
right.
I would assume that that means that we're not on in a derisive discussion about what the hagdara of bishul is. Rather, we're thinking about a gzeira.
I think you have to read Rashi like there are two stages in the Rashi. Stage one in Rashi is it's not derech bishul b'kach. Stage one. And consequently, in the worst case scenario, it should be osur midrabanon. Stage two in Rashi, it's not even osur midrabanon because no one will confuse cooking in the sun with cooking in a fire. There are two stages in the Rashi. So Rashi is saying it's heter gomor because it's not normal cooking. And subsequently, don't even say it's osur midrabanon, right? Because no one would mistake the two.
Okay, because I thought in your presentation
it's normal cooking. So then even stage one does not get off the ground, there would be osur min ha-tayra. And Rav Moshe is saying that microwave ovens is considered normal cooking.
Okay.
I think that's Rav Moshe's take on this issue. Now, Rabbi Willig in his Sefer deflects two of the three proofs that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman makes. That Rabbi Shlomo Zalman brings. Ben, is that a hand up?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, the food is being heated up in the microwave. Shaila about Alidei Akum.
Yeah.
Cooked or just being reheated?
So that's an interesting point. In other words, most of the food I put in the microwave is just reheated, so therefore I'd have to get involved in Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But let's say it's a liquid item, and let's say we paskin that for a liquid item, once it cools down, it's subject to Bishul Min HaTorah. You're right. If it's a kugel that they put in the microwave, that's definitely only osur midrabanan. They probably should have clarified this with that fellow in prison. But that's a very good point, right? If it's a kugel, so it's not possible. That's a din d'oraisa. That's correct.
If he's still there, you could send him a follow-up email.
Oh, he's still there. He has another 8 years. Whatever. Yeah, I think he got a 13-year sentence. Okay, now, there is a third proof that Reb Shlomo Zalman brings. It's in footnote Kuf Mem Daled in the Shmira Shabbos Volume 2, and it's in footnote Kuf Tzadi Hei in Shmira Shabbos 3.0. But remember, there are three different editions of the Shmira Shabbos, 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0. In 3.0, it's in footnote 195, and 2.0, it's in footnote 142. The Magen Avraham, in a discussion of Libun, right, there's a malach on Shabbos that you're not allowed to, there's a malach on Shabbos that I'm not allowed to launder items. Grand. We paskin that if I have a garment that is wet, to put the garment near an actual fire is going to be an iser of libon. Because when you heat up a garment that is near a fire, the garment gets cleaner. The Magen Avraham points out, however, that if I have a wet garment and I want to hang that garment on the clothesline, and it's really sunny outside, so the Magen Avraham comments that that's permitted. That's permitted. Why is it permitted? Isn't it normal that people dry clothing on clotheslines? Again, this is also a generational thing. Many of you guys probably never experienced hanging clothes outside to dry. It used to be a thing. It's normal. It's a normal way of cooking. A normal way of, excuse me, of hanging wet clothing outside. And that would be cooking the water in the garment. According to Rav Moshe, it should be osur min ha-Torah. we paskin that a garment that is wet, I'm not allowed to hang outside on the clothesline because it's a din maris ayin. Someone might think I did the laundry on Shabbos. So it's rabbinically forbidden. But according to Rev Moshe, says Rev Shlomo Zalman, it should be usar min ha-Torah. That proof of Rev Shlomo Zalman, that Rev Moshe is wrong, it seems to me is a very strong proof. And I do not understand how come in Rabbi Willig Sefer, where he has this essay, it's on page, I believe, 67. In Rabbi Willig Sefer, he has this essay rejecting Rev Shlomo Zalman and defending Rev Moshe. He does not acknowledge this other proof that Rev Shlomo Zalman has. Rabbi Willig only deflects the proofs that Rev Shlomo Zalman has in the Tshuva Mincha Shlomo Simen Yud Beis footnote 4. But he does not even address the proof that Rav Shlomo Zalman has in that footnote in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Okay. Now, based on where we are, the question that comes up is a Dud Shemesh on Shabbos. Let's just review. The Eglay Tal says that cooking in the sun is permitted in a situation or because it's heter gamur, because the result is going to be different than when you cook in an oven. Rev Moshe would say cooking in the sun could potentially be an issur d'oraisa if it would be the normal way of cooking. Rev Shlomo Zalman says, no, it can't be forbidden because the Torah defines this act, or the Torah does not define this act as being cooking. Now, when they have a Dud Shemesh, the Dud Shemesh basically is a solar heating system. They're very common in most places of the planet, not in the United States, not as common as they should be. The way a Dud Shemesh works is that they have a series of mirrors, and the mirrors have receptors. So the sunlight comes in, and they usually have a black background, which keeps the heat from the sun in place. The water goes from a tank, it goes up to the mirror area, the water gets heated, and then the water goes back into the tank. When I take hot water on Shabbos from my Dud Shemesh, I am taking water from that tank. And because I am creating some sort of vacuum, because I take hot water out, so more water has to enter the tank, so cold water comes in to replace that hot water that came out. So the cold water that enters the tank is really being heated by water that was heated in the sunlight. Additionally, you have a case, not so infrequently, where the Dud Shemesh, all the water in the tank, is not particularly hot, and that water, which halachically is cold, goes up into the that system of mirrors, and then that water gets hotter. So am I allowed to take water out of a Dud Shemesh on Shabbos? That's the question. And there is a lot to be said about this. But let me just point out that there are three editions of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Volume 1 of the Shmir Shabbos, the first one that came out in 1965. And in Volume 1 of the Shmir Shabbos, Chapter 1, Footnote 29, it's a very long footnote. He says it's absolutely permitted to use a Dud Shemesh on Shabbos. Absolutely permitted. Now, he's bothered by your question. What do you mean? How could it be absolutely permitted? In many cases, when I take hot water from the tank, cold water is going to enter that tank, and the cold water will be heated by hot water, which itself was heated in the sun. So shouldn't that be usur midrabanan because of Todos Schama. Sir Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Shmir Shabbos 1.0. One of my students, like 4 years ago, and I said Shmir Shabbos, I mentioned Shmir Shabbos 1.0. So a couple months later, the guy was in Israel, and he went to one of these used bookshops, and they were selling a Shmir Shabbos 1.0 for 5 shekel. So he bought it for me as a gift. So I have it. So in Shmir Shabbos 1.0, he develops an idea that I want to talk about more tomorrow. He develops an idea that the only reason why cooking in Toldos Chama is forbidden, cooking in something that was heated in the sun is forbidden, that's because you might mistake it for Toldos Ha'ar. But if everyone in your city, everyone in your country has a Dud Shemesh, so no one is going to mistake the hot water heater that you have for Toldos Ha'ar. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman in Shmir Shabbos 1.0, therefore it is permitted. But in Shmir Shabbos 2.0, he changed his mind and he said it's forbidden. But his change of mind was not halachic. His change of mind was because of the reality. It used to be that if you had a Dud Shemesh and you wanted to take a hot shower, you could only take a hot shower during the day. You could not take a hot shower at night because, ready, gentlemen? The sun don't shine at night, right? So therefore, the Dud Shemesh would not be hot at night. So you knew that the only source of the heat is from the sun. But today, and by today I mean in the 1980s when Shmir Shabbos 2.0 came out, all of the Dud Shemeshes have a battery backup, or it has some backup with regular normal heat. So therefore, it really is subject to a gezeirah of Todos Chama up to Todos Ha'ar. Because if I see someone taking hot water out of their Dud Shemesh, I don't know if the water that comes in to that tank is the water being heated from water which itself was heated by the sun, or is that water being heated by water which was heated at night by the battery or by the ordinary heat source. If that's the case, Reb Shlomo Zalman in 2.0 say using the Dud Shemesh is forbidden because the gezeira of Toldos Chama atu Toldos Ha'ar still applies. That's what he developed in 2.0. There is no halachic difference between 1.0 and 2.0. The difference is mitzius. The difference is the way Dud Shemeshes work. Now, this issue of Dud Shemesh was a big cause celeb, and I think it still is a big cause celeb in Israel. Chacham Ovadia Yosef has a really, really long tshuva in Chelek Dalet of Yabia Omer, where Chacham Ovadia, I think today's his yahrzeit, no? I saw Chacham Ovadia a couple of times. I was in Chacham Ovadia addict when I was learning in Israel. Just the man knew more than any Jew probably in the last 150 years. Just to put it, he certainly wrote more than any Jew in the last 150 years. Chacham Ovadia in the tshuva, which Rav Yatz Rimon in his Sefer writes that it took him 6 months to write this tshuva. He spent a ton of time on this issue of Dud Shemesh. Chacham Ovadia basically develops a ton of kulas that you can use a Dud Shemesh b'diyeved, but it's preferred not to. He also suggests that maybe you should use the Dud Shemesh if you turn off the intake valve so that the cold water won't enter the tank when you withdraw hot water. There is a problem with that. The problem is that the Dud Shemesh does not work when you turn off the intake valve in most cases. Maybe tomorrow I'll have to spend a few more minutes just on the realities of a Dud Shemesh, and we'll talk in terms of practical halacha about this. If people want, I'll take some pictures of the Shmir Shabbos 1.0 so that you could read it, and I'll give out a few additional sources about this afternoon or tonight. I'll send out. I want to complete this topic to the best of my ability tomorrow, and we'll move on. Okay, gentlemen, any questions or comments? Okay, this is excellent. So we'll continue this conversation, Amir Tashem, tomorrow, and we should have a great day. All the best.